Welcome to Greenball. I'm Marie Crowe. In this episode, we are delighted this week to chat with Harry Tector, who last week moved to number 7 in the world rankings for ODI batters. In our segment, Answer Me This, we chat to Ireland international and Typhoons captain Rebecca Stokel. But first, it's hello to our reporter Sean Hussey with the latest Irish cricket news, starting with the build-up to the Lord's Test. Sean, how are you? How are things?
I'm good, thanks, Marie. How are you?
Good, yeah. I'm going to start off with the 50-man squad for the Lord's Test. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, I don't think there was any. There wasn't too much surprise, considering that a lot of the players have had the experience of playing the three Test matches in the subcontinent. I think obviously Conor Alford and Tom Mays being in, they've been impressive. Particularly Tom Mays, I saw him bowl during the week here in Stormont, and he was really impressive. But I'm sure that Andy Balbirnie knows his 11 now. I'd be pretty confident that he does, and I'm sure they're really looking forward to what should be an exciting couple of weeks for them.
Yeah, it really should be. And just given, I guess, maybe how the last few months have gone, what are you expecting from that test against England?
Well, it's a difficult one. I don't think anything will top the first couple of hours in 2019 when Tim Murta took 5 wickets and England were bowled out for 85 before lunch. I think if we got that again, it'd be incredible. I think we'll learn a lot from the warm-up game they're going to play against Essex, a three-day game. I think we hopefully might see some players get into a bit of form, get some time out in the middle, because it's going to be difficult. England are a coming side. They've got the Ashes to come. Last year, they were outstanding in the red ball game under new head coach Brendan McCullum and new captain Ben Stokes. So I don't think last time out 4 years ago, England had a bit of the World Cup hangover, having just won the 50-over World Cup. I don't think we'll see that this year. I think we'll see them ready to go. So it's a huge challenge for Ireland, but one I'm sure that they're really relishing, because it doesn't get much bigger as an Irish cricketer than playing at Lord's, or in fact any cricketer, than to play at the home of cricket.
So the Essex warm-up game, 26th to the 28th of May. What do they need to learn from this to prepare for England?
I think they just need to get a little bit of housekeeping and some overs into the legs of some players. We're not going to have Josh Little playing. He's going to be still resting and recovering after a busy IPL period. So for some of the other bowlers, I mean, Craig Young's in the squad. He suffered a lot with injuries. So just getting some overs into the legs and getting some plans in place against Essex. Because England, as I said, England's batting over the last year, 18 months, has been outstanding and can really hurt Ireland. So it'll be really interesting to see from that Essex game what kind of plan Ireland go with. Andy McBrien, you'd imagine, will play the spinner's role. So it's just a case of how Andy Balbirnie uses his bowlers. But there's no doubt Ireland would have learnt an awful lot from that, from the three Test matches they played in the subcontinent.
It just shows the importance, Sean, of having all of those games ahead of this really big one.
Yeah, absolutely. And Andy Albert Balbirnie has spoken at length about that, how, you know, it almost feels like Ireland are starting to become a Test nation because they're playing regular Test matches. So it really helps him. I mean, the difficulty with some of the games, particularly against Bangladesh, was Ireland were going into the unknown. You had some players like Ben White, Matthew Humphreys, who were playing their first-class game on the biggest stage and a Test match in the subcontinent in conditions alien to a lot of these players. So regular Test matches is only going to benefit the team, and it's a really interesting Test match series they have.
So many of our listeners are going to be tuning in for that big England Test. What can they expect and look forward to?
Well, I think, and hopefully plenty of green and Lord's. A green pitch might actually suit Ireland's bowlers as well, because it's going to be a really difficult challenge up against that England batting lineup. You'd expect England to be kind of in razor sharp mode ahead of the Ashes. It's a big summer of cricket for them, and one with Brendan McCullum last year. The form, the feel good factor seems to be back in English Test cricket. So it's going to be a real challenge, and it doesn't get any easier playing England, considering they've had Bangladesh and Sri Lankan Test matches on their home conditions. They're now going to face one of the sides who seem to be on the rise in Test cricket.
Now, speaking of playing in England, Sean, Orla Prendergast has certainly made a huge impact on her debut for the Western Storm just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, 100 in her first match, and I think she flew in the night before. But she's off the back of a really good World Cup. T20 World Cup getting named as part of one of the players on the team of the tournament. So I think a lot of people have known about Orla's ability in Ireland for a number of years. So to see her play for the Western Storm, that was in the 50-over format, and she's played a couple of games in the Charlotte Edwards Cup and the T20 as well. It'd be interesting to see during the summer with the 100, does she play many games? Does she get picked up as an option? And I'm sure that 100 would have made a lot of people take note in the English women's game, and it's good for Irish cricket considering it's a busy summer for them as well. They've got the six-match tour of the Caribbean. They've got Australia to come, which is going to be a huge challenge, and the Netherlands, a trip to the Netherlands in there as well. So good to see some of the Irish women's players getting into good form, and in particular Orla Prendergast, who has been over playing with the Western Storm.
Yeah, and Orla's so young, it's amazing to see her have that kind of presence of mind to be able to take her opportunity as well, Sean.
Yeah, exactly, and pretty fearless, and I think that's what Ed Joyce is trying to do. I think it's kind of the trend now in professional cricket is to give players the freedom to go out and play their natural game, and Orla Prendergast certainly is one of Ireland's best ball strikers and someone who can clear the ropes. So great to see her transfer that from the Irish club game, the Irish Super Series, into the English domestic game.
And just on squad news then, there is some just out for that CWC qualifier in Zimbabwe coming up soon.
Yeah, news just out in the last while. Probably a few changes that maybe some people weren't expected. No surprise really to see the likes of Paul Sterling, Andy Balburnie, Andy McBrien, Harry Tector, Lachlan Tucker, Curtis Camfer, George Dockrell in. I think what's interesting is that PJ Moore will go as Ireland's backup wicketkeeper, as opposed to Stephen Donnie, who had played the three Bangladesh games. So I'm sure Stephen Donnie will be a little bit disappointed, but a big opportunity for PJ Moore, who has found some form for Munster. And then with the bowling department, the likes of George Dockrell, Mark Adair, Graham Hume, Craig Young, Josh Little, who will be coming from the IPL. You've Barry McCarthy in there, Ben White and Gareth Delaney. So plenty of options, a couple of legs being options in Ben White and Gareth Delaney. If Andy McBrien does bat up the order, it might give a place for an extra spinner in there, which brings George Dockrell into the equation. And if Josh Little and Mark Adair are the premier bowlers, then there's certainly a place between the likes of Barry McCarthy, Craig Young, Graham Hume. So it's a big tournament for them. It's interesting squad news. Andy Balburnie will be hoping that it's a successful 50-over qualifier, because the last time we were at the World Cup was 2015, and the regular games you get the chance to play the best of the best. And remember, Ireland have been in really good form in the 50-over format. They seem to have a pretty settled squad and players who know their roles. That middle order with Harry Tector, Lachlan Tucker, Curtis Camfer, if you've got George Dockrell in there, is really strong. And coupled with the fact that you've got Paul Sterling and Andy Balburnie at the top of the order. So Ireland will really want to get through that qualifying. It's not going to be easy. But they'll have learnt a lot over the last year or so, playing in the last couple of years, playing in the Super League qualifying, the original qualifying. They just missed out, so they have a chance now in the qualifiers against some of the other nations. So it's not going to be easy, but I'm sure they'll be really targeting that as a chance to make it a really good year for Irish cricket.
It sounds like there's good depth now in that squad.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's something we've seen in the Interpros that the player pool is growing, the depth of Irish players. You're seeing a lot of good young Irish players playing, Irish qualified players playing in the Super Series, playing in the Interpros rather, and trying to make an impact because there's so much competition for places. I mean, Neil Rock's been in exceptional form at the start. He seems to now be almost four-choice keeper if PJ Moore's in the squad, and you've got Stephen Donnie. So there really is great depth. There's great competition amongst the players, but certainly that middle order and some of the players in there, the likes of Mark Adair, Josh Little, George Dockrell, Lorcan Tucker, have really cemented them their places in the last few years. So there's great depth, but I think in the starting 11, I think it's maybe only one or two places up for grabs. But the guys that are in the squad that mightn't get much game time, I think will be really chomping at the bit to try and get some, and if they do, take their opportunities.
Yep, that's what you want for sure. Let's look at the domestic game now. In the first round of the Arrakis Irish Senior Cup and Arrakis National Cup was played. Any standout performances, eye-catching ones for you, Sean?
Well, there was a couple of big hundreds. I think Neil Rock hitting 16 sixes in Kenya was was one of the big standouts. And now it's a small enough ground in Rush, but 16-6 is incredible. There were some, I suppose, close games as well. Leinster beat CSNI in Stormont by just 6 runs. I mean, it was a really interesting game. Matthew Foster had some late heroics with the bat hitting 32, but it wasn't enough to get it over the line. So that's a disappointing exit for CSNI. And North Down were impressive with a 10-wicket win. Ali Shields, the pick of the bowlers, with 3 for 25, and then an unbroken opening partnership with himself and Annie Chore were outstanding, the two of them. And some other interesting results. In Stonians had a brilliant win down in Malahide, beating Malahide very comfortably. Ireland's chairman, national chairman of selectors, Andrew White, taking 4 wickets, former Irish international, and still performing in the Irish Senior Cup. The Hills also beat Fox Lodge away. So there's some interesting performances all around. I mean, it's a special time of year. It's a really interesting cup competition. And you also have the likes of Warringstown, who are always one of the top guns in the NCU. They had a 9-wicket win, and a couple of games were abandoned with no results. A match abandoned between Donegal and Carrickfergusson, also Ardmore and Cork County. So it's going to be an interesting next round. There's some real big hitters in there. Pembroke had survived a late scare against Brigade. Lorcan Tucker and Joe Prendergast got them over the line. So there's some real big hitters left in the competition. Of course, you've got last year's 4 semi-finalists to come back into the next round. So I think it's set up to be a really good Irish Senior Cup this year. And now it's going to be a little bit weakened with how the availability of some of the Irish senior players, but a real chance for some of the guys we're seeing in the Interpros and strong performers in club cricket to come to the fore, because it's, as I said, it's one of the big tournaments.
And finally, Sean, let's talk a little bit more about the Rario Interpros and the Evoke Super Series. Also some great performances in these competitions.
Yeah, and they're at such a good standard now, where we're seeing really good performances. Mary-Ann Masunda in the Super Series has been a great addition. She's playing her club cricket in the Hills. She had an unbeaten 71 there last week. And that's a ferocious opening partnership with herself and Gabby Lewis. And the Dragons have been impressive, and they were a little bit disappointing last year, kind of a newer side with a lot of the girls coming from the NCU. They were impressive in their win at the weekend last weekend at Oak Hill, and also the Scorchers had a win. So plenty of good performances. Sophie McMahon took 5 for 12 last week, and good performances from the Dragons, from Alana Dazelle, Cara Murray and Leah Paul in the last few weeks. And then in the men's IP 50 series, we've had good performances. The Northern Knights have gone 2 from 2. They had a good win against the Munster Reds at Stormont, with Morgan Topping getting a wonderful 92 after Mary Cummins's 100 for the Munster Reds in the first innings. And well, I think one of the standout performances is young Reuben Wilson, just 16 years of age, taking 5 wickets last week against the Munster Reds in a losing cause, but he was so impressive, and at such a young age coming into the Interpro game and really taking it well. And in that game, Tyrone Kane and PJ Moore put on a wonderful partnership, hitting 11 sixes and getting the Munster Reds over the line. So it's been very competitive so far, and we're seeing some really good performances, and some performances that I'm sure the selectors will be looking at and be really happy with. And it's no harm having players in form in and around the Irish setup. So hopefully with it being a big summer for the Irish team, that we are continuing to see good performances, whether it be in the Interpros in the men's side or in the Evoke Super Series with the women's side, because both national teams have busy summers ahead, and both head coaches, Heinrich Milan with the men and Ed Joyce with the women's team, will be hoping and I'm sure we'll be needing a bigger squad if injuries come along. So good performances all around in the Interpros and in the Super Series.
Yep, and all matches are on www.icc.tv. Sean Hussey, thank you so much for joining us. Now it's time to chat with Harry Tector, who last week moved to number 7 in the world rankings for ODI batters. How are you, Harry?
I'm great, Maria. Thanks for having me on. Great to be back on.
Congratulations, number 7 in the world rankings, a jump of 72 places. How do you feel about things like those rankings?
Yeah, it's great. Like, obviously, it's nice to be in such esteemed company, I guess, with so many great players. But I'm not too overawed by it, to be honest. I think it's obviously probably more a reflection on playing consistently, probably for the last 2 years, which has been really pleasing, I guess. And it's, I guess it's really nice to be rewarded in that way, but it doesn't really do that much for me. So it's nice, I guess.
It's still a sign of good form, though. What would you put it down to?
Yeah, it is, I guess. I guess I work very hard on my game. I think about it a lot. And I guess as well, you know, I have very good teammates to bat with. That makes a big difference. You know, we're, for a lot of the time over the last 2 years, I've been coming in great positions thanks to, you know, Sturlow, Bal, up at the top of the order, who have really been putting us in really strong positions. So that's made a massive difference.
You mentioned that it's also a reflection of the consistency of cricket that you've been playing, that you've been playing a lot. But it shows a consistency of performance as well. How difficult is it to achieve that? And is it just down to playing more regularly all of the time?
Yeah, I think the amount of games that we play has a massive thing to do with, you know, you learn so much. I think the fact that we don't have that many domestic games means that a lot of us are doing our learning on the go in international cricket. And I think from when I made my debut 4 years ago to now, I've learned so much. And that's been a massive help, because it very much is a sink or swim job, I guess, playing for Ireland. You know, you either do well, and if you don't do well, you stare down the barrel of getting dropped. So thankfully, I've been able to learn quickly and sort of keep my place in the team, and then over time start to put in sort of hopefully match-winning performances.
It's actually even strange to hear you say that it's only 4 years since you made your debut. It feels like a lot longer.
Yeah, it does, but it's probably not even 4 years. It was September 2019, so coming on 4 years now. But yeah, it's been a great ride so far. Yeah, it's awesome, and to do it, like, I'm doing it with all my best friends, and it's just a great thing to travel the world to play for your country, and to be doing it with your mates is pretty special.
So what's it like though when you have a good personal performance and the team doesn't win?
Isn't the joke that it's all best Ireland and us? No, it's obviously pretty disappointing to be putting in match winning performances, and to be losing is never something that you want, I guess. But hopefully, you know, the more that you can perform well and play well, you know, the more that adds to wins. And that's all I really want to do. So my mind is very much on Lords. And then obviously the big one is the qualifiers. And hopefully I can carry this form into that, and hopefully help in putting in match winning performances.
Before we move on to what's coming up, how do you reflect on the last few months?
I guess it's a tricky one, because we haven't won much, just the win in Bangladesh in the T20 series. But I think there's been a lot of positives, a lot of guys batting really well, which is great to see, and a lot of guys learning a lot, which is awesome. And to be honest, everything this last few months is just building up to the qualifiers, in my opinion, the 50 over qualifiers, and we can qualify for that 50 over World Cup. That's all I really care about. So I think if we just can learn from the last few months, that would be a big, big win.
Do you feel like you're kind of edging closer to being in a position where you are getting those marginal gains and kind of getting over the line?
Yeah, I hope so, Marie. I hope so. It's a tough one. Like when you lose these tight games, you know, you feel like you have to get over the line once to know that you can do it. And we have won as well in those tight situations. But I think the big thing we spoke about after the last ODI against Bangladesh was the fact that we're going to be in that position a lot, and we've got to deal with that a little bit better. And we all know that. I think that's the main thing. We were really disappointed with the way we didn't finish off that game that in Chelmsford, the last ODI. And a big part of that was me throwing my wicket away, and that's something I can't do, particularly going towards the qualifiers, is when you get in on difficult pitches, you've got to make the most of it. So I've got to learn from that, and we all have to learn, because that's the sort of scenario and pressure that we're going to face coming up. So Yeah, hopefully when we're in that position again in the coming months, you know, you just need to get over the line once, and then momentum is such a big thing at these qualifying tournaments. So hopefully we can get on a roll early and then keep it going.
And I guess, look, the only way to learn from these things is to actually put yourselves in the position, and even getting into the position where you can get over the line is a good place to be. It's just finishing it out. Let's talk about Lourdes coming up, though, and just the significance of it. What is it going to mean to you and to feel like to be in a sold-out Lourdes playing for Ireland against England in Test cricket?
Yeah, to be honest, I don't really get too caught up in a lot of things, you know, in terms of cricket, because I've done a lot of bucket list stuff already. But to be playing England at Lourdes in a test match is dream come true stuff, really. I grew up watching England play every summer, playing at Lourdes, and to think that I'll be involved in that fixture is just amazing. And I have a lot of friends and families a lot of my friends and family are coming over, as well as a lot of the lads' friends and family. So it's going to be a really special day. I know a lot of our supporters are going over, so hopefully we can get a good turnout and we can put a performance in that'll hopefully, you know, inspire another generation of Irish cricketers.
Are you the type of athlete who can enjoy the big moment, the pressured situations, or is it down the line, years to come when you're retired, that you can actually think about what you achieved?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think so, Marie. I think it would be impossible not to be honest. I think it's such a special place to play cricket. I haven't played there before, and to be doing it for your country in a test match against England is just so special. So hopefully I'll be able to block out all the external factors, but I definitely don't think it'll be lost on me about what I'm doing or where I'm doing it.
What are you hoping to learn from that warm-up game against Essex before you play England?
I think it's just going to be about how I play the Duke ball, to be honest, how I go about playing the swinging ball, because that's something we rarely do here. You know, the white ball and one-day cricket and T20 cricket doesn't really swing, whereas the Duke ball is pretty prodigious in how it swings, and you're going to be facing the best bowlers England have, so it's I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for me. So I'm not so worried about my performances as such against in that warm-up game. Obviously, it'd be great to do well, but I think I just need to learn pretty quickly as to how I go about playing against that ball, and then formulating a game plan that I think will work against England.
Big few weeks and months coming up for you, Harry. What are you looking forward to most?
Lourdes is the obvious one, isn't it? Obviously a really special occasion, but I think if we could get over the line in both the 50 over and the T20 qualifiers, and it was August and you told me we had qualified for two World Cups, I'd just bite your hand off right now. I think that would be amazing, and it's going to be so hard to do, so many good teams to beat. So if we can manage to do that, I think that's the thing that has me most excited. The challenge of trying to pull something like that off, I think would be amazing.
Well, if you keep playing the way you're playing, who knows? Harry Tector, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the next few weeks and months, and looking forward to following all of the action. Now, I'm delighted to say that it is time for our Answer Me This segment, and we're going to chat to Ireland International and Typhoons captain Rebecca Stokel. Rebecca, how are you?
Yeah, really good. Thanks for having me on.
Is life busy for you at the moment?
Well, I've actually just finished my final year exam, so I've parked that for the time being. College is done till September, and cricket's just about to ramp up. So, yeah, busy enough.
So you're going to spend the next few months just playing as much cricket as humanly possible?
Exactly. Get as much in as I can.
That sounds like a really good plan. So I'm going to get into our questions. What do you enjoy most about cricket?
I'd say definitely being from Dublin and the Irish cricket community, it would have to be the people that I've met playing. I've made some of the best relationships with people and best friendships that I can say I'll probably have forever. So I'd say it's definitely the people that you meet and also the places that you get to go see.
Did you come from a family that were involved in cricket, or was it just, did you just kind of happen upon the sport?
So my dad actually used to play loads growing up. So he kind of brought it into the family, and me and my brothers used to play out in the back garden growing up. And having two elder brothers, I was definitely given that competitive edge and a bit roughened up. So yeah, he kind of got all three of us into it. And then from there, I just loved it and joined a club and kind of went from there.
Who was your sporting hero when you were growing up?
A bit of a weird one, but when I was younger, I really followed Jessica Ennis. Watched her all the time in the Olympics and just thought she was an unbelievable athlete, taking part in so many events. I just remember watching the 2008 Beijing Olympics and watching her, and yeah, I was always kind of aspired to be her, got the book that Christmas, I think. So yeah, and then in terms of cricket, I've always kind of followed Catherine Brunt's story. I think she's an incredible athlete, and had a really, after they won that World Cup in 2017, that she had a really good documentary that I watched. And yeah, I think she has a great story and is an incredible athlete.
It just really backs up the can't see, can't be theory, doesn't it? That you were seeing these sports stars. And
exactly, yeah. So when I was younger, there definitely wasn't as much cricket exposure as there is now. The likes of the Olympics, you got to see all these female athletes on a world stage, and it was like, oh my God, wanting to be. And I was a kid that wanted to take part in absolutely any sport, so it was like, I'd love to go to the Olympics. It didn't quite work out, but yeah, that was on the TV, so got exposure to that. And then now it's obviously so good that there's so much female sport on the TV for kids growing up now.
Were there other sports that you played when you were young?
Yeah, so I took part in absolutely anything. I had a very busy week growing up. I played a lot of hockey in school, did a lot of swimming, and then the likes of tennis, athletics, literally anything to get me out of school, I went for.
So many people have that that same kind of story, that they were putting their hand up to be picked on whatever team it was, and as long as it was a bus leaving at some stage.
Yeah, exactly. Missed a few classes.
Was there ever like opportunities for you in other sports, or was it always cricket was that the path you wanted to follow?
I think I always loved the balance of playing hockey in the winter and cricket in the summer. Being able to do stuff all year round was amazing for me. And yeah, I guess I just fell into cricket more. I probably wasn't as good as at hockey as I was at cricket, so it kind of fell that way. And I kept playing hockey in college when I could, but no, cricket was definitely one that I loved, and there was such a pathway into what things could come next. And yeah,
when you were younger, were you aware that there, like, did it cross your mind that at some stage when you got older that there would be professional opportunities or semi-professional, or just a pathway to being a professional cricketer?
To be honest, I actually never thought I'd see it during my career. I always thought it was down the line. Seeing the likes, what was going on in Australia and stuff was so exciting, but I never, just with how small it is in Ireland, I never thought that I'd be lucky enough to have it during my time. And then at the age of 22, it was on the doorstep. So there's still so much time ahead. So it's actually so exciting. But no, growing up, I don't think I ever thought there would be that professional lifestyle.
So what about club cricket? What do you most enjoy about that in Ireland?
I think, like I said earlier, it's just such a community in Ireland. Everyone kind of knows everyone, and everyone really gets around each other. And it's kind of like a second family. So I play for Marion in Donnybrook and have some really good friends there. And yeah, I've really enjoyed playing cricket there, and just the people that are there, it's like a second family.
Do you spend time away from cricket? Because it doesn't sound like it.
I definitely do. I think you definitely need a break with how busy our schedules are. I've been doing college full time, which has kind of been almost my break from cricket. So it's been a bit hectic. And I'll finish that in December. So who knows what I'll do with my free time after college is done.
What about your perfect day away from cricket? Like, if you were to plan out the perfect day, what would it look like?
I think it would have to be a nice summer's day. Go to a different coffee shop, get a nice coffee, go for a sea swim. I'm really into the sea swimming buzz since COVID. And yeah, just a day outdoors, a hike, walk, anything really.
Sounds good. What's the best piece of cricket advice that you have received that has helped with your career?
I think for me, a massive thing with cricket is confidence. It's such a single or an individual sport, yet it has that team element. So I think when I was growing up, it was kind of like, if you're not confident in yourself, no one else is going to be confident in you. So I was always told to fake it till you make it in terms of confidence. And I think if you come across as confidence to other people, you kind of install it in yourself. So I've always stuck by that one. And then obviously you have to have fun. So enjoyment is such a huge part of it.
I'd say so. All right. Now I have some quick fire questions to finish. Mullets, nifty or naff?
Oh, naff.
Sledging, part of it or park it?
Park it.
Who is the funniest member of the Irish team?
I'd have to say Mary Waldron.
Why?
I think she thanked me for that. I think she has a serious skill to tell a joke at certain times that people need it, especially in a dressing room. I don't know how she remembers all of them. But yeah, she always has one handy and she'd put a smile on anyone's face.
What song have you played the most in the last month?
Oh. I've been into my Irish music recently, so I'd say Travelling Soldier.
Very good. I don't know what that song is, so
you have to... A random one. I heard it in the pub one night and it's been on my Spotify ever since.
Very good. I'll have to check that out. Rekha, thank you so much. Enjoy the summer. You'll be busy and best of luck with that final dissertation. Thanks for listening and join us again in the next show to discuss the Lord's Test and plenty more going on around Irish cricket. Don't forget to subscribe to the show. Also rate and leave a review as it really helps other fans to find us. And if you have any questions, you can email us at thegreenballshow@gmail.com. And we'll do our best to find an answer. Farewell for now.